mahu, right? So if you have the two parties, who normally would have a yachlofu status, and one party grabs it from the other, so what's the story? So ask the Gemara, hechi dami. So what's the scenario? We have one person grabs it from the other. Ita shasik oduye dole. That if the party who lost it, he got it grabbed from him, so then it's a hodah. So then, fine, he basically acknowledged the other guy has it. Which is itself an interesting assumption that that matters, right? And if the guy is screaming and objecting, so then might have a little mabud. So then what do you want? So he was basically just mugged. And so if somebody mugs another person, so we don't assume that it belongs to the mugger, we just saw this happen, so why should we give any status to that? The guy is screaming and saying, this guy just took my purse, so then what difference does it make? So maybe it's a little bit more complicated than that. At first, he was quiet. So it sounds like a hodah. But then he came and made a fuss later. So, how do we look at that? Should we assume that his initial shtika constitutes a hodah, which should be held against him? Odilma cave in the katzavach, since he's screaming hashta, since he's screaming now, igloi milso dahai deshase kveikara, the fact that he was quiet at the beginning, savar haka chazule rabbanan. He said, listen, the rabbis are watching, they'll do something. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman comments on this, tashma b'med dvar memurim sheshniyem medukimba, that this whole idea of yachloku, when do we apply it? We apply it when the two parties are both holding on to the garment. But clearly, if the talus was in the hands of one of them, so then we'd apply our principle of hamotzi mechavero olavaraya, that we would put the burden of proof on the person who's not holding it. So what kind of scenario are we talking about? Where just one person has something and somebody else wants it? So of course, emotzi mechaver lo harayah. We know that. So elo shetok ve'echa bifneinu. So maybe we're talking about a case where one person grabbed it in front of the other. So therefore, it's now in his hands. So we'll apply emotzi mechavero onto the other guy. Then says the Gemara, "Lo hachav ma'yaskina." What are we talking about? You know, the also look haman kidetfisa leitravayu. Maybe they came in front of us when they both had it. V'amrinu lahu zilu plugu, and we told them, "They'll split it." Echloku, v'nafku v'hadar asu kitafis lachad minayim. So when they come back, and we expected them each to have half of it, following the psak of yachloku, now we find that only one person has it. So what does that represent? So hi amra duye duyle. So the one person who's holding it says that he confessed to me, he acknowledged to me that I own it. Vai amra bidve agarti nihole. So he says, no, the other guy says the reason he has it is because I rented it out to him. Which sounds like a very weak claim. And indeed, that's the attitude that we have to it. So you're telling me you want us to believe that right now, a minute ago, you came and you said he's stealing from you. And then in between, you decided to rent it out to him without witnesses so that he could have proof that it's actually his. It's a little bit of an unbelievable story. Or if you want, we could say that, yeah, it was a situation that one person is holding onto it. Idach misrach basruche, and the other one is kind of just holding on to the edges. We have filled the sumchas, the amar mumen hamotel basafek chalkin below shvua, and even sumchas who would say that you have a safek, you can split it without a shvua. So even sumchas, that one who has such a tendency towards yachloku, so he'll say modu sumcha to sirchalav kulamhu, that this is not a significant safek. So. Already, what principles has the Gemara brought out so far? Right, just from that initial discussion, what kind of issues does the Gemara seem to be asking? That essentially, why would we ever credit a tokev and a tofes, person who grabbed it? Why would that have any significance? We saw the guy grab it in front of us. So, in order to credit that tfisa, in order to say it means anything, we're going to have to assume that there was no genuine chazaka that established that it's 50-50. and that we're really dealing with a pretty questionable situation to begin with. And that the act of tefisa somehow will tilt it. Somehow will create a motzi mechavero alav haraya. Right, clearly, again, to use the example of somebody getting mugged, and so if you were to see a mugger grab a wallet from somebody in front of you, so nobody would ever say on this mugger, Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. The idea that we should apply it to that person only makes sense because we're assuming this tefisa can join in with the ochsin, or even less than ochsin, according to some Rishonim, to give him the edge. So what does that say about the nature of ochsin in both directions? And how does it give enough of an edge that together with tefisa it should be significant? And how is it weak enough that tefisa potentially could undo it? So as we mentioned, this Gemara is really very central to the whole ochsin issue that we started off with. So now the Gemara kind of segues to the issue that Aaron brought up before. And the Gemara brings up the following issues. So if you're going to say that if one person grabs it, so we don't let him keep it, we take it away from him. So Hikdisha and in the Kodeshas. It would sound like if that person would decide to be Makdish it, it's also not going to be good. Now, what do we mean by Makdish it? He grabbed it and was Makdish it? So what are the Rishonim saying? No, that's not what it means. But he didn't even grab it. He took his existing stake, so to speak, his existing position, and added to that Hekdish. Now, Hekdish can be parallel to Tfis a little bit, right? Because what is Tfisa do? If Tfisa just upsets the balance a little bit and takes an equal position and knocks it off edge a little bit and gives the edge to the toe face, so maybe Hekdesh could do the same thing. Because Hekdesh, since Amira Legavoa Kibasira Lehejit, that the power of Hekdesh is such that it can, in a sense, immediately transfer property. So it's as if Hekdesh, through the agency of this half party, itself came and grabbed the item. So the Gemara is assuming there's a parallel between the two. That if we're going to credit his tefisa, we'll also credit his Hekdesh without tefisa. That they're somehow parallel processes. Either I could grab it, or I could dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash without grabbing it, and both of them will either work, or both of them will not work. They're similar kinds of ideas. So, if they're going to say that tefisa works, emotzi miyado, we'll say the two doesn't work, the first opinion, so then hektish doesn't work either. Imtim sulomar tak ve'echa bifneinu emotzi noso miyado. If you're going to tell me that the tekifa works because we don't take it from him, so then hikdishu below takfa mahu. So what happens if he is makdish without taking it? So then what's the story? So keva damar mara miraso legavoa kamasira lehajit dami kamanda takfa dami. Should we say that this is comparable to tekifa? Right, so that would be the assumption that they are parallel. That just like he could grab it and we'll leave it with him, so too if he's makdish we'll leave it with him. Or should we say, oh Dilma Hashta Mihu Halo Takva? Listen, he hasn't actually grabbed it yet. And therefore, if he hasn't grabbed it, there's a problem with his ability to be Makdish. Uksiv Ish Kiyakdish is Beso Kodesh, says the Pasuk. Says the Gemara, Ma Beso Brishuso Afkal Brishuso La Fuke Hai Delo Brishuso. And this is comparable to what the Gemara says elsewhere. And the Gemara tells us you have this scenario where somebody robs something from somebody else. Gazal v'lo nisyayishu abayil. So the item is in the hands of a thief, but there has not yet been any kinyane gizela because the original owner has not miyayish. So says the Gemara, in such a situation, shnehem enim yichol mahakdish. Neither party can sanctify, can dedicate this item. Why? Why can't the ganav do it? Zeh mipnei she'eino shelo. It's not his. He can't be makdish she'eino adam makdish davar she'eino shelo. V'zeh, and the original owner, why is he not able to do it? Mipnei she'eino b'rishuso. So in order for there to be hektish, we need both conditions. We need that you should have legal title, so to speak, and you should have possession. It should be under your control. So that could be an issue here. We could say that the makdish in this case has enough legal status, but he doesn't have the control necessary to do it. He doesn't have it berishusa. So essentially, the Gemara has three ways of looking at how hektish would interact with this situation. Either you could say there's no shot at all, because it's like tfisa, and tfisa is not an option. We're just dealing with yachloku, and tfisa is not going to be legitimated in terms of this scenario. Or we'll say that tfisa does work and hektish is equal to tfisa. Or tfisa is somewhere in between. That if a guy wanted to be tokek, he wanted to be toface it, then fine, that would work. But if he's not doing that, so it's not berushuso. And if it's not berushuso, so then he can't be makdish it. Okay, so far so good. So you see how the three possibilities in the Gemara bring out different issues in terms of how we would understand the whole nature of the yachloku relationship, of the conflict relationship. So what the Gemara is basically going to segue from here is, in general, you have sfeikos between two people in a mumminous issue. So what does that suffix represent? And to what extent does that affect other halachas? So what the Gemara is going to get into here, and we're just about out of time, so tomorrow we will go into the Gemara a little bit more and spend a few minutes, again, just highlighting the major issues in the Rishonim and the Achronim. But what's going to come out from here? What's the next point of the Gemara going to be? So you have, let's say, hektish. So hektish involves various considerations. To what extent are those considerations going to be guided by the mumminos issues? So one of the issues is some of the Achronim perceive to be the underlying question here. But also, how are the mumminos issues reflective of themselves? What does it mean? We have a suffix between two people, so do we both own it together? Do we both have a chazaka together? Do we neither of us have a chazaka? What does a chazaka mean? Right, that's essentially a very central issue which comes out from this sugi here. What does it mean to have a chazaka on something? Does it mean that you have inviolate ownership? Or maybe it doesn't mean ownership at all, but it gives you a certain upper hand in terms of how we will allocate mumminus. So keep those questions in mind tomorrow morning. Try to look at the sugyas a little bit more. If you should finish looking at everything on the list before tomorrow, so it would be a good time to start with Chazara, again, because we're holding from that as well. And tomorrow in Shir, we'll just again highlight some of the key issues here briefly, and then we will segue into Chazara. Okay, again, I thank you for your indulgence today, and I wish everybody a wonderful day.
Any updates on the Bible?
Sorry?
Any updates on the Bible?
So far, in terms of the Bible, so far, we're still...